Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
What's going on, man?
Oh, I'm thinking about raising a little capital. How about you?
I think it's time we take this podcast to the next level and do like an arena tour. But we're going to need to raise some money for that. Like, we got to prepay for all these arenas, right?
We are definitely going to need capital if we're going to do an arena tour during a pandemic.
And I've seen your speakers set up. Those look expensive.
The wall of sound?
Yeah. We're going to need some money for that, man.
What Matt's referring to is I made a joke. I actually got the schematic from the Grateful Dead's wall of sound, and then I relabeled it to be the 2022 full-scale Christmas party karaoke setup.
Because
we've had to cancel our Christmas party 2 years in a row. And, you know, I figured if it go big or go home after that 2 years in a row. So, yeah, by the way, if you want to enjoy the many, many laughs and bonus content items that come out, come check out the Startup Hustle chat on Facebook. There's about 2,500 people in there right now. And
yeah,
we post videos and polls and a lot of other stuff.
Good stuff there.
Yep. Host stuff, not a bunch of spam. It's not self-serving. It's a pretty good community. So come check it out. Now, speaking of good things, Matt, do you want to let people know about today's episode?
Absolutely. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Wix, helping you create a website you're proud of. Discover the platform that gives you the freedom to create, design, manage, and develop your web presence exactly the way you want. Go to Wix.com and check it out. Can you believe they have like 200 million people that use Wix?
It's crazy.
That blows my mind.
I know. I think about
it. I bet they raised some money. I bet they got some funding. Holy shit.
Probably in all stages along the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what happens. Now, before we get into like raising money at the later stages, let's do a quick little review. Now, the last episode in this series, so this is part 46 of 52. And for those of you listening, I'm still trying to gain traction on getting my voice back. So I appreciate it. I know. Hang on. Let me drink some of this energy drink. there you go. Nope, didn't help.
Nope.
So episode 45 in this series is 52 part series. Matt, we're almost done with this thing, buddy. We're getting through it.
Coming down the home stretch.
You know, we talked about is it time to quit? Now, this is the opposite of that.
It's time to go big.
This is when it's time to try to raise money, or well, this is another option for when it could feel like it's time to quit. You need resources. You want to go big, rocket ships to the moon require expensive fuel. So where are you going to get it? We talk about, you have all different types of stages of funding. You have pre-seed funding, seed funding, Series A, Series B, Series A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. You know, there's like all of them. Get into venture debt, mezzanine financing, all of it. I mean, what is a later stage, Matt?
Oh, man. You know, it's all over the board. And so the focus today is supposed to be later stage. But, you know, here in Kansas City, raising like a seed round or a Series A seems to be a little different than, say, raising a Series A in like San Francisco. Or like they raise like a $20 million Series A round or whatever craziness. Where it seems like in Kansas City, if you raise like $20 million, it's like Series G. Like, right. It's just different. I don't know how to say, but you know, usually the key here is you're raising capital in later stages because you've got an excellent product, you've got the team, you've got product market fit, you've got all of it right, and you're just trying to scale. And honestly, this is where Vin Solutions was when we sold it. We were doing about $3 million a month in revenue. We were making money, but we had never had any kind of venture capital. We didn't have any money in the bank. I mean, we were making money, but we didn't have enough money to say, hey, we need to go hire the next 50 people, 100 people, develop this new product, go into a new market vertical. Like, we couldn't do any of those things. We didn't have the money. We were like running around with our chickens with our head cut off, right? Just trying to keep up with shit. We had no padding behind us, right, to help us. And that's where the capital in the later stages comes in. It's usually to help take to the next level, right? To go from like, okay, a $30 million a year company to a $100 million company. Or a lot of times it's founders trying to take money off the table too. Like, you'll hear about so-and-so raised $100 million. You know what? 80% of that might've been to buy out, you know, Series A investors or the founders. And it's secondary capital that people are taking money off the table too. They don't ever talk about that, but a lot of that owner's liquidity.
Yeah.
That's a big reason to take later stage rounds too. And I never forget it. We talked to Sandy Kemper from C2FO, and that was one of the things he told me. He's like, hey man, at every stage, you take a little bit of chips off the table, right? You're de-risking a little bit. Series A, B, C. You always take a little bit of money off the table as you go, because you just never know. Like, the whole thing could blow up later. And that's a big part of raising money in the later stages as well.
So when we say later stages, we're just going to say established businesses. This is usually like often growth capital, but there are other reasons that this stuff comes back, you know, and like there's, I don't know, much like snowflakes, every business is different. It has different needs. It's got just all of it's different. So, you know, businesses that make it to things like Series C are usually pretty successful. I mean, this is what we're going to discuss today is these are the situations where, well, when you're in an early stage business, you get pissed off that you're not at this stage, because you're like, no one will give me money when I need it. But why would I need it when I'm already super profitable?
Right.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons. So, all right. So when we talk about like raising money at this stage, I think you're going to start by showing that your revenue is going to outpace your current expense structure. And that's why you're bringing the money in.
Well, and at this stage, some companies could be profitable or they may not be profitable, right? You know, it depends on if they're partially owned by private equity or kind of who owns it and what the kind of corporate goals are. And it could be like, look, the company has to be, you know, an EBITDA break even, like you can't lose money, but we're willing to invest. Like, depending on these companies, as they get to these later stages, could be totally different, you know, mindsets and how they're run. Some are just like, look, we're going to burn cash. Like, this is rocket fuel. Go acquire as many customers as possible. We don't care if the company ever makes a single dollar in profit. And then you have some, they're like, look, no, we're going to give you this money because we want you to take this product and develop it into a new vertical or whatever. But the company should be profitable. Like, it's just all over the board.
Yeah. And well, in some cases, like you mentioned Vent Solutions, and for those of you listening, you know, Matt and his partner sold that business for $150 million. But you're looking at a business that's, you mentioned having $3 million a month in revenue, and you don't have jack in the bank.
Nothing.
And, you know, some of that too, like that. I mean, here's the thing is, one, that'll stifle your growth. And also, it's risky.
Mm-hmm.
If a pandemic had hit.
Yeah, any little bump, what do you do?
During that case, you could have been in really, really bad shape.
Yeah. Yep.
How many employees you guys have at exit? 400 or 500?
I think we were close to 300, something like that. I mean,
and that company now has 500.
Yeah, at least over 500. Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt mentioned the term EBITDA. For those of you that might not be familiar, that stands for earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. that is not the bottom line.
No, it's not.
But even, and different businesses too are going to get like, so Matt and I own Fullscale. Go to fullscale.io if you need help with software developers. That's what we do. Now that's a tech services business. That's going to be a completely different approach and outlook, not only from a management and ownership perspective, that as well as an investment standpoint. So like EBITDA really matters to us at Fullscale, like a whole lot, where because we aren't a 10x valuation software company.
Yeah, so we need to be business, profitable, right?
Yeah, it needs to become profitable. And like, and there's an acceptable range for it not being profitable, and there are acceptable reasons for it not to be profitable. Like here we are in 2022. If we decided to not be profitable, that's because we were plowing all of our profits or positive revenue back into future growth.
Yep.
That is a potentially acceptable reason for eliminating your EBITDA, as opposed to, hey, we're just here we are 4 years later and we're trying to make a dollar.
And by the way, there's a great terminology for this. They call the rule of 40 to consider too, where if you're a high growth startup, you should be growing 40% a year, or the combination of your growth rate plus your profit should be 40. That's your goal. So if your profit is 20% a year, like EBITDA margin is 20% or whatever, plus your growth rate is 20, you'd be at 40. And so that's another kind of rule that they use, is that rule of 40.
I have good news for you, Matt. Fullscale grew over 40% last year.
Whoop, 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 whoop. While being profitable.
You heard it. You heard it here first. All right. So, you know, when you're looking at raising money as well, you know, you got to look at things like, you know, you don't hold back on capital expenditures, you know, you know, these kind of capital investments can be amortized over a long period of time, but in the later stage, smart investors fully understand and expect that you're going to need to address some serious infrastructure needs to grow your business. And that's like, that's one of the things we're dealing with at Fullscale right now. Like we just went through a pandemic. We're all over the world. We're trying to expand into other markets. And, you know, we have to look at that very carefully about where and how we spend money. And one of the things over this last couple of years with the pandemic was we had an office expense that we could have just basically decided to stop paying and just let them come after us for the money. We chose not to. And then recently a super typhoon hits the company and the office became invaluable. And it kind of made me rethink some of the future, because we had moved to an all remote kind of thing. And I'm like, maybe we just don't need offices at all or whatever. And some of that, I was like, maybe we do, you know, maybe
just
we
need
do.
A smaller office. That,
it could be, or more, or just something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, when you look at raising later stage investment, it's because sometimes you need to be able to get the things that you couldn't or wouldn't normally afford without the money coming in, but are pretty imperative for you to be a big, big company.
Well, and obviously the type of company changes your capital requirements considerably, right? Like our focus is more on tech companies, but think about Tesla as an example. They're like, we need to build another battery factory, like a gigafactory. Okay, we need like $1 billion for that, please. Like it just requires a lot of cash, right? And maybe they can get that from banks even and almost do bank financing for that. That's another option.
You got to pay that back.
But yeah, I mean, it's debt, right?
Yeah.
But it's just tech companies don't usually have physical assets that they're buying that they're leveraging and getting debt for, like a factory or say inventory. If you were selling a physical product, you're like, oh, I need money to buy the product, manufacture the product. For software companies, it's usually for sales and marketing. It's like, I need to hire a bunch of salespeople. I need to spend a bunch of money on marketing. I know what my customer acquisition costs are. I know what my lifetime value of my customer is. I mean, think about Netflix. And, you know, it was $7 a month and you got your red envelopes in the mail back then, right? But all the advertising they had to do to get us to sign up for their DVD mail service, and you know they weren't making much money, but it was first to market, right? They want to buy customers, basically. They want to own the market, and they got to spend a ton of money on sales and marketing to get all the customers signed up. But they know the lifetime value of the customers is high, and eventually they'll get the money back. But it takes capital.
Well, that's where you see these, you know, company X gets a $300 million investment at a $1.5 billion valuation. And, you know, it's easy to look at that and be like, what on earth are do yeah. you need $300 million for? But when you break it down, I mean, there's a bunch of different reasons. There's a bunch of different things that, you know, that could be. Now, one of the things to keep in mind is this kind of investment, like a Series C or whatever, you're selling equity. You're not, and the alternative is debt-based stuff where you are paying that back.
Well, and, so and we should talk about that.
Do you want the liability and the repayment? Go ahead, man.
You know, debt has become more and more of a common thing now. Like venture debt has become much more common. StackFi used it. We got some venture
debt. Full Scale used it.
Full Scale has used it. And then you've got people like Cabbage and others that aren't the same as venture debt, but they've made it really easy to go online and get business loans, like unsecured business loans that are debt. Usually venture debt is paid back. A lot of it is revenue-based financing where you pay back a percentage of your monthly revenue. Another one that's common is based on your merchant processing. So there's people like American Express and stuff. They're like, okay, we'll give you, we know you do $1 million a month in American Express billing on your credit cards. Like, we're pretty sure we're going to get that money back because you're going to keep selling stuff and keep taking American Express. So we'll front you a bunch of money. But then you just, you know, pay it back as a percentage of your, you know, proceeds. Like, hey, instead of getting $1 million, we're going to give you $900,000 and we're going to keep part of it or whatever until you pay off the loan. So there's some other creative ways to do financing of things out there that aren't just equity. There are debt options out there. And we mentioned earlier, mezzanine financing. Mezzanine was an option that Venn Solutions actually considered, where it was a mixture of kind of debt and equity, both. It was kind of both coupled together, which was kind of crazy. It's like we had to give equity to them. They'd give us money and we had to pay the money back both. Kind of felt like we were getting screwed twice. So that's why we didn't do it. So there's different structures to all these things out there, but there's a lot of different options. And private equity is another option that we didn't have on our list, but where it's like, look, we're not selling the whole company. We're selling part of it. We're bringing in private equity. So like maybe we still maintain control, they're a minority owner, but now we've got a financial partner that's really backing it.
Well, let's talk about venture debt for a second too, because I think that's something that a lot of people aren't familiar with. And honestly, I wasn't until a few years ago. So venture debt comes in different forms. Probably the more popular and mainstream is RBF, revenue-based financing.
Yeah.
Where they're going to say, here's $1 million, and we're going to take 4% of your revenue until that's paid back. And there's some tiers. And Matt, why don't you give a little outline of what that looks like and like why that was a decision that you made in the past?
Yeah, we looked at it because it was hard to raise equity, right? Like if we were going to go raise $1 million, couple million dollars or whatever, that's kind of a hard number to raise. Like most people want to write smaller checks or much bigger checks. We're kind of in the middle there where it's harder to get investors. And then frankly, our numbers just didn't line up. Like as far as like, we didn't have the perfect, you know, customer acquisition cost and, you know, margins, and we weren't profitable. We were burning cash. Like we just weren't like this perfect company that somebody's going to throw $10 million at in a Series A or Series B or whatever. So venture debt was a great option for us to go raise $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, whatever it is. And these companies will let you kind of lever into it. It's like, okay, we'll start at $500,000 with one tranche. And then if you do well and you hit your numbers, we'll give you another tranche and another tranche, right? And that's what's great about it too, is you don't have to go take $10 million worth of equity or whatever if you don't need it and take all that dilution. Instead, with the debt, you've got to pay it back.
But you keep the equity. And I remember you laying on the couch of my office, which was not uncommon, by the way. If you work with Matt and you have a couch in your office, you can count on him probably laying down on it for about 80% of the day.
Yeah.
And the other 20%, he's just circling the office looking for a different couch.
Pretty much. Sounds right. Getting coffee.
Sound about right. Yeah.
Getting coffee.
But usually. No, but you sitting there. And he never brings it back. He'll just go and get a coffee and then for himself and then come back and lay on your couch. And you're kind of like, dude, could you bring me a coffee?
Nope.
But I know. Yeah, that's I hopefully in 2022, well, we don't have an office with a couch in it. Well, we do. We have an office with a lot of couches in it, but none of them are in an office. So talking about why you want to, you're like, why would you take $1 million and you want to pay it back? Because the equity that you would have given up is going to be worth way more than the money that you would have sold equity for. And that's a pretty easy proposition. Another thing too is, like Matt mentioned, the path to the deposit in your bank account is a lot less treacherous.
Well, because it's debt, they're first in line, right? So they know that worst comes to worst, the $1 million or whatever debt you have is the first thing that has to be paid back. Where if you're an equity holder, you know, you're behind the debt. So if you've got a company that on paper, you know, based on standard valuations, like, okay, this company's worth arguably $5 million, $10 million, $15 million, whatever. They've got revenue and all this stuff. Like, giving them $500,000 in venture debt doesn't seem quite as risky, right? Versus plowing $5 million into it and becoming, you know, and buying equity that has higher risk portfolio to it. And honestly, these companies that are doing venture debt, the one we worked with, I later invested in them. So I'm actually an LP partner in that firm now. And their internal rate of return for their investors was about 25% a year. So that's a really good return for their investors. And honestly, it's probably not too different from private equity. Like, I've invested in private equity groups rounds before, and their rate of returns are usually 15, 20, 30% a year. And so the people that are doing the venture debt are getting similar rates of return with perceivably less risk because it's debt. So it kind of works well on both sides, is the point.
Now, I want to talk for a second about a different kind of venture debt. So this is what we did at Full Scale. And you mentioned Sandy Kemper earlier. So Sandy Kemper's the CEO and founder of C2FO, which is, I don't even know what that company, that's a unicorn at this point.
Yeah, it's got to be $1 billion
company now. Sandy's been an amazing mentor and friend to both Matt and I, Full Scale, Stackify, pretty much everything we do. And thank you, Sandy, for that. But it was actually, you know, that was one of the things at Full Scale, we didn't really know, well, we were having a hard time putting a value on the company, you know, and we didn't want to sell a bunch of shares at pennies on the dollar. And I actually emailed Sandy. I said, can I just bend your ear for a minute? And he said, sure, come on over. I was like, okay. So I went right on over to his office and talked to him for a few minutes and said, you should create a venture debt pool. And basically in the end, what that is we created our own loans. And, you know, we did $750,000 worth, and we got that all really quickly from friends and family. And it was an amortization kind of loan. And we paid a percentage return. The payment goes out to them every month, and pay the money back. And that's how that goes. And that can be it's a win-win. One, if you have believers and people that like what you do, you know, and that means you then have lenders and not investors. It's different. Yep. So, you know, and that's it. So, okay. Now, before we get into the second half of the episode, Matt, where do you go when you want to create, manage, and grow your business online? Because Wix is the leading website creation platform. Create a site with designer-made templates that can be customized for your business. They look great on all devices. They have all kinds of tools in there to help you reach new audiences with intelligent SEO. It's designed to get you found in search engines and give you an amazing presentation. And keep in mind, if people are going to judge your business about in direct correlation with the quality at which you present yourself online. Yes. And Wix makes it pretty easy to do that. So, you know, you can manage it all from one place. You can do it at home, at the office, on the go. You never miss a thing when it comes to your business. And there's over 200 million people already doing it at Wix.com, which is awesome. I mean, like, okay, that's a validator.
They must raise some money.
200 million. Okay. So something in here is working. So yeah. Would that be a good metric to tell a later stage capital investor? How many users do you have? We have 200 million.
All of them.
Yeah. That's about how many people, to give you some context, that's about the same number of people that in all of the United States that are a monthly user of Facebook.
Holy moly. That's crazy. Yeah,
crazy, right? That's all right. So, you know, back to like why raising capital in later stages. I mean, one of the things that a lot of companies do is they'll raise money because their current business model is generating revenue and servicing clients in a specific vertical or however it is they do it. And they realize and they know that they can create their own verticals. They can expand, they can find new potential streams of revenue, however that might be or however that looks. But in order to do that, they kind of have a startup inside their own startup, and they don't want to, they don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. They don't want to, and this is where you got to be careful. Cause you know, we've talked so much about entrepreneurial ADD and distractions and stuff like that. You can create little side stuff in your business thinking you're going to expand it, and then it doesn't go the way that you wanted it to. And now you've got a boat anchor attached to your speedboat that was cruising pretty fast. And now all of a sudden you're like, wow, what did I do here?
By the way, Wix raised $58 million before they went public, and they did a Series D round, was their last round. So
that was a D.
Yep. They went all the way to D.
Yeah. And once you go public, you don't really that you're in a different world. You're going to get different types of financing, but you sell shares.
Yep.
I mean, that's basically what that is. So
that answers the question. Yeah, I love. Well, good for them, dude,
by the way, that's the $58 million sounds like a lot of money for a company the size of Wix. They did it well.
It says, right? When they IPO'd, they were worth $600 million.
Million?
$600 million.
Yeah, that was a while ago, though.
Yeah, that was 2013.
Yeah, no, they're probably worth a hell of a lot more than that.
All right. So, well, by the way, I love what you just described of companies that raise money and to kind of fund a new idea, a new product, you know, attacking a new vertical, right? Like that's a great way to grow a business and invest in yourself, but kind of almost spread the risk too, right? And that's why I believe AutoTrader acquired VinSolutions. They're like, okay, we do AutoTrader does online ads, but like, what happens to that business? What if Craigslist kills this business? Maybe we should buy some other things and diversify, right? So that's another good reason to raise money and to do acquisitions. A lot of people raise money.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe acquire a competitor and thin the market out, just boost things. You know, another ones too is focusing on markets where you may have attained or if you feel like you have some maturity.
Yeah. Yep.
Because at that point, a customer acquisition becomes a much, well, use a real life example. All right. So Full Scale, about half of our clients are here in Kansas City. Why? Because we're here in Kansas City. We know a lot of people here.
Yep.
And, but with that, we're pretty deep down in the bucket. So, you know, looking for new people and doing stuff like that. If we wanted to reach them or go out and get them, we're going to have to do some things that are a little outside of the range of what we normally do, which is word of mouth, referrals, startup hustle, stuff like that. And maybe we're like, okay, we got to spend a whole lot of money in our own market. And that might require a different type of capital, or we want to maybe, okay, another one is maybe you like, okay, so most of our clients are in the United States.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe, but we, and we have quite a few in Australia, and we're like, we look at Australia and we're like, wow, but that's on the other side of the world. Like we might say we need to have some people over there too, not just advertise there.
And honestly, actually an even better example would probably be if we said with Full Scale, it's like, we want to go focus on the Japanese market because we don't speak Japanese, so let's start there.
Right.
And like we might need to go hire a couple people that live in Tokyo that were salespeople and whatever. And, you know, we'd have to have money to fund that. Right. Now, for us, like hiring a couple people is not a big deal probably. But for some of these other companies we talk about, they're like going into a new market might mean hiring dozens or hundreds of people. Right. So,
well, I'll give you an example. Yeah. So, you know, Austin, Texas is booming right now.
Oh yeah.
And you know, like big time. And with that, so Facebook, literally, so they're building a new, like the new soon to be tallest building in Austin downtown. Facebook just agreed to lease the entire building.
Oh, wow.
Now, they might not be raising capital for that, but that's a good example of like the kind of stacks of cash.
Well, imagine how many people you got to hire to fill that thing up.
A few. Is it more than one?
Yeah, more than a trillion.
Okay, so when it comes to this stuff and you're trying to raise money, I mean, let the money do the talking, you know? And like, I mean, big growth phase investors want concrete evidence that a business has the ability to transform markets, you know? And that, I mean, at this point, they're not betting on whether or not you will be a success. They're betting on how big you're going to be.
Yeah, you're doubling down at this point, right? Like, you've got to have all of your proof of your customer acquisition costs and lifetime value and like all these different metrics that you would expect. And you're already a winner, right? But you got to have all that in writing. The numbers have got to back up the story, but the investors are just looking to double down on that and continue the growth.
So, you know, this next thing is something that's pretty important and you need to know, like at this point also, I mean, when you get into series rounds that have letters in front of them, you need to be prepared to be, you know, so one of our advisors along the way was my friend, Greg Kratefel, who is a well-known startup attorney. And, you know, I remember him telling me specifically, he's like, you don't ever put a round with a letter on it unless you're ready to sell 20% of the shares. You know, so anything below that is a little low. And the question is why? And it's because the people that write checks that are this size, they want skin in the game. They don't want to buy 1%. They don't want to buy 1%.
It's not worth their time. They're not going to show up for a board meeting for something they owe 1% of.
I talk to investor type folks a lot, either through Full Scale. And this isn't because I'm seeking investment. It's because they're on the podcast or they have, I don't know, they want to recommend us to some of their portfolio companies or something like that. And, you know, I mean, I always ask, I say, you know, what kind of checks do you guys like to write? And I mean, it's not, I was on a call 2 weeks ago with someone, they said never less than 20 million and never more than 50. That's a lot of money still, you know, and it's like,
it takes just as much effort to do due diligence and all that to write a $2 million check as it does a $20 million check.
Yep.
So,
yep. Yeah, but
that's another thing too. I prefer to write the $20 million checks.
You do?
Yeah.
When can you come by?
I'll be by later.
All right. So, I mean, but that's pretty common, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, 15 to 25% of shares need to be offered. It's, you know, I don't know. And I mean, you got to be serious about getting some serious money in at that point.
Money.
All right. So Matt, as a quick reminder, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Wix, where you go when you want to create a website that you're proud of, discover the platform that gives you the freedom to create, design, manage, and develop your web presence exactly the way you want. Go to wix.com and check it out. Well, you know, once again, you know, thanks Wix for being one of our newer sponsors here on Startup Hustle. We definitely appreciate that. And for those of you that are, you know, getting something started, I mean, that's a great, great place to go get a website. I feel like Matt Watson may have built a Wix website while we were recording these last couple episodes, because Matt's pretty clever like that, but that's
point
a guy
click,
that knows
baby,
how
point
to write.
Click.
Well, I was going to say, this is a guy that really knows how to write code, but you don't always need to write code. Sometimes it's a sophisticated world of being able to set this up. And I want to say one other thing with this. And if you spend time with me, you're eventually going to hear me say, you need to look like you're in the business of doing whatever it is that you say that you're doing or want to do. I literally exclude people that email me about being Full Scale clients from Gmail addresses, because if you don't even have a website, you don't even have, can't even email out at your domain, you're not ready for what we do. And it, you just think about that, like you are not representing yourself. There are tools like Wix that are going to get you right on top of where you need to be. And they're sophisticated. They're used to dealing with your unsophistication on some levels and helping you get something online. And sometimes building a basic website is a lot harder than you think it is without tools like that.
Makes you look like you're legit.
Legit. And you know what? I'm not too legit to quit. I'm not too legit to quit because I'm going to keep going. Wait. I am too legit to quit because we're back into serious. I don't know. You know, Matt, I think as we kind of, a lot of this funding stuff, and if you're listening, it's okay to, it's a little confusing. I mean, a lot of this, you get into angel rounds, pre-seed, seeds, and series A, and venture debt, and mezzanine financing, and revenue-based funding, and like, you're like, oh my God, like, where do you start? I will start with getting, I mean, look, there, we have probably at this point done an episode on everything I just mentioned.
Yeah.
There's a world of free information and people talking it through with you. At some point, neither Matt or I got it. And then we either did it, learned it, figured it out. And that's what you need to do. Because if you want to get yourself into these funding conversations, you got to have a basic grasp on what you're doing. Because you might get yourself in a bad spot if you don't know what you're doing. And also, I think just to make the most informed decision possible, you need to understand what all the options and avenues are.
Well, hopefully if you're in this later stage, like we're talking about, hopefully you've already done a couple rounds and you know what you're doing and you've got the right advisors. You may have a CFO,
right.
You know, you've got probably a board. The great thing about The great thing about raising venture capital is you have now people, you have people that are now invested in the fact that helping you raise more money, right? So when you have that series A and you have series B and you've got some institutional money, you've got people that are willing to help you go get the next money, right? Even they may invest it themselves. If not, they know people that they may partner with. Like, hey, we write the $1 million check and our friends down the street, they write the $10 million check. So we'll bring them in now, right? And so the good news is you're going to have help in the later stages and you probably are going to have a CFO by then, I would hope too.
Yeah, well, you probably won't get the money if you don't.
If you're talking big money, yeah. I mean, I'll take
that. Yeah, no one's going to write you. Watson isn't going to write a $20 million check
if
he doesn't feel that there is adequate management
and a couch.
People there. And a couch. What is your use of funds? I'm going to spend $19 million on couches.
And coffee.
And $1 million, and $1 million on growth. And yes. $1 million on coffee. There you go. And where could that go wrong? Every step of the way, sir. Every step of the way. You know, man, when I look at a lot of this stuff, and I mean, the reality is most people don't get into these conversations.
No.
I mean,
no way.
So with that, you know, one of the things that has been refreshing and helpful to not only be a business partner with you at Full Scale, but also hosting these shows with you, Matt, is you have navigated this territory with multiple different businesses. And one of the things I think is really important is if you get people around you that may already have that roadmap, because I think that it has and says a lot about your company because you have the experience, but I also just think it's make you feel a little better. I am not afraid to ask Matt Watson a stupid question.
With everything in life, you don't know what you don't know, right? I mean, nothing frustrates me more when I'm at the store with my kids and they're acting like crazy assholes. And you got somebody telling me how to parent my kids and they obviously don't have kids. And I'm like, just shut up, right? And there are so many things about life that you don't understand until you go through them, just like having kids. Like nobody can appreciate what it's like to have kids until you have kids. You read every book in the world, every blog post, every mommy, it doesn't, none of that matters. So you have kids, just shut up. You don't know anything about it. And the same thing with like raising money and navigating all this stuff. Until you've been through it, you just will never understand it. And when you're doing this, you want to have people on your side that have done it before, that understand like the little things in the term sheet, they're going to screw you and all the little differences and details and all the different stuff and how to negotiate it and all that. And experience goes a long way.
It really does. And you know, that's important. So, all right, Matt. So we're going to get back after this. We're hoping to get this series done now, what, by the end of 2022?
Yeah. Yeah. Every couple
Six
months
more.
We'll do one.
Six more. Say no, no. We're going to try to get this done. Hopefully my voice comes back because I know that the brighter part of many of your day, days is
I miss that sexy voice.
Silky smooth nature.
Right? Oh yeah.
Right. So, all right, well, I'm going to get out of here so I can let that healing begin. See you next week, Matt.
See ya.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.